Okay, everyone has an outline this morning. We'll read just Hebrews 11, just one verse, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Our theme this morning is going to be rearing children by faith. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask thy blessing upon this important topic. We live in a godless world, a world that is not afraid to set its agenda, a world of pharaohs trying to sink our children in the depths of the Nile. Help us not to be afraid of the world's commandments, but to fear thee and thy commandments. Help us to rear our children by faith in an unbelieving world. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this morning does not talk about the faith of Moses. That's a mistake many people make when they read Hebrews 11, verse 23, because verse 24 begins the same way. By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses. And so you tend to think this is Moses' faith, but actually verse 23 talks about the faith of Moses' mother and Moses' father. And really, there's an intimate connection between verse 23 and 24. I want you to look at 24 a moment as well. 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather, 25, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So you see the connection. When Moses was able to think for himself and act for himself, and by the grace of God, believe for himself, he followed in the footsteps of his parents. They refused to be afraid of the king's commandment. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There's a connection. God saved Moses, of course. But God used the instruction of Moses' mother and father for that salvation. And so, we need to raise our children by faith, like Amram and Jochebed. By the way, that's Moses' parents' names, in case you couldn't recall that. Amram and Jochebed. We need to raise our children as they did, by faith, believing that God will bless our efforts, protecting our children, guiding our children, instructing our children, so that when they grow up, they will embrace the same faith and have the same otherworldly view. You see, when Moses was too young, too helpless to exercise faith in the God of Israel, his parents did what all godly parents must learn to do. They shouldered his responsibilities for them. That's part of what we do in baptism. We're actually saying in baptism that we will use our vows on behalf of our children. So there's this marvelous connection in infant baptism too. God gives promises to believing parents for covenant children. And so we may look forward with expectation to the day when those promises may be fulfilled in our own children. That's amazingly comforting. The faith of a parent usually, I won't say always, the Lord is sovereign, but usually affects the future faith of the child. And so we read here about the faith of Amram and Jochebed. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. He couldn't have had that faith of hiding himself. No, it's Amram and Jochebed who hid him when he was 3 months old. So, what an incredible task parents have. What an incredible task Jochebed had. A mother has a very critical task in rearing a child for God. Do you know of a higher calling in this world beside the ministry? I don't. I think it's the highest calling in the world, the calling of a mother. And yet, Moses had an influential father, too. The New Testament tells us that Moses' father was also involved in the beautiful story of Moses' infancy. And it teaches us that believing fathers must be wholly supportive of believing mothers in the rearing of children. So there was this atmosphere of godliness that reigned in the home of Moses from the time he was an infant. And the atmosphere of a home, just like a business, normally sets the tone. I have a brother, you know, who's been many years, he's just retiring now, but he's been many years supervisor of schools in British Columbia. And he would visit and interview and study anywhere between 100 and 150 schools every single year. So he's been in thousands of schools in his life. And he often told me this. He says, when you walk into a school, within 5 minutes, if I never met the principal, I can tell you quite a bit of what he's like by the tone and the atmosphere in the school. Isn't that interesting? But isn't that true even more so of a home? Because some schools have, 20, 30 teachers. It's pretty hard to influence everyone too heavily. But even there it's true, he said. But I say it's much more true of a home that has just two parents. How those parents get along. How those parents feel about God. How those parents are instructing their children. You can feel the atmosphere. Whether it's godly, yes or no. Many times. You can be a little bit deceived, a little bit off mark. There can be more problems or a few less problems than you might think. Sure. But home matters. Home matters. And generally speaking, the Bible says it's true. When you raise a child in the fear of God, when he's old, he will not depart from it. Generally speaking, the godly fathers and mothers, where both parents are godly, will have children that will walk in godly ways as well. People of faith usually have children of faith. That is a tremendous, tremendous encouragement. And that's not because we're good parents. Oh, of course not. It's because of God. He's a covenant-keeping God. And He loves to plan His footsteps from generation to generation. So, you have to see here in this text the cooperation of Moses' mother and father with the eternal purposes of God. They were mentors for Moses because they were people of faith. Now, it's interesting that Jochebed is only mentioned twice in the scriptures, her name, and Amram is mentioned 14 times. And yet, Jochebed seems to have the priority. That is, Amram is sort of standing in Jochebed's shadow. He's referred to as the husband of Jochebed. Interesting twist. Usually, Scripture names the man. But Scripture here puts his wife in the foreground and says, well, he's her husband. Well, some of you men maybe feel sometimes that you stand in the shadow of your wife or your children in the home because your wife is the queen of the home and she's the center of the hub. And I know that feeling as well. But both of them are involved. But what a blessing to have this God-fearing mother the center of the home, raising Miriam and Aaron and Moses, and all three of them turn out to be God-fearing. All three noteworthy for their faith, though they all stumbled, of course, at particular times. But Moses becomes the greatest believing man just about the world has ever seen. And he has a God-fearing mother like Jochebed. What a blessing. What a blessing. Well, let me remind you of the context here of these people of faith in order to show you their principle of faith out of which they operated. Some 60 or 70 years after Joseph's death, they were living under another king, Pharaoh, who didn't know Joseph. And this king, Pharaoh, looks at how the Israelites are multiplying. Then looks at the land they have. They have the land of Goshen, which is the best farming land in Egypt. And he gets a little antsy and a little jealous and a little worried about the future. He says, you know what? We've got to keep these Israelites in subjection. We've got to keep them in subjection. And the only way we can do that is by keeping their population down, or they're going to overrun us. You can understand his fear. It's sort of like the European sphere right now with all the Muslims moving in into Europe. There's countries in Europe that are afraid, you know, geographically, they do the math, or arithmetically, rather, they do the math, and they figure out 20, 30 years from now, we'll have a majority of Muslim population in our country. They're going to try and impose Islam as law. What's that going to mean? You know, there's problems here. So the king of Pharaoh says, I know how to solve it. Kill all the children. So he tells the midwives to kill every newborn male child. Figures if he kills the male children, well, they'll lose their soldiers, but also their population won't be able to go on if they have just all young women. So he's going to keep them subdued, you see. And when the midwives refuse to do it, you recall the story, he requests his officers to throw the Israelitish male babies in the Nile. Now, these are the circumstances in which Moses is born. I can imagine Jochebed and Amram saying to each other, maybe they even prayed, Lord, please give us a girl. Pharaoh's going to come and take our baby. It's a boy. He's going to throw it in the Nile. Well, when you have a child today, there's so many dangers. There's so many pharaohs, as it were, hovering over our children, wanting to pick them up and throw them in the Nile. There's the pharaoh of the drug world. Yes, there's the pharaoh. But there's the pharaoh of sexual promiscuity. I'm speaking figuratively, of course. There's all kinds of pharaohs hovering over our children, trying to destroy our children. I have to list all the evils that threaten us. Sometimes we say, how can you bring up a child in this kind of world? Don't you think Amram and Jochebed said that? How can we bring up Moses in the world where Pharaoh's servants are going around looking for male babies to kill them? What's going to happen? Well, they live by faith. That's what Hebrews 11:23 says. They lived by faith. They lived by faith negatively, and they lived by faith positively. How so negatively? Well, first of all, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Did you read that? They walked by faith, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. I mean, that's just amazing. Babies are getting killed left and right all around them in their neighborhood. All the male babies. And they're not afraid of the king's commandment. How's it possible? Well, it's only by the grace of God. They both possess saving faith, which works by love, and they look to God. Perfect love casts out fear, the Bible says. Amram and Jochebed saw the authority of Pharaoh, but above the authoritative throne of Pharaoh, they see the sovereignty of the throne of Jehovah. And seeing God's sovereignty, they say, if God so wills, our child can live. Now, for 3 months, they keep Moses in the house. We don't know where they hid him or how they hid him. But you can imagine it was rather nerve-wracking at times. Every time the baby cried, Jochebed would run over, I think, and try to cover the baby. So, shh, you can't cry. You can't cry. Somebody can hear you. But baby Moses' lungs are getting stronger. 3 months later, the cries become louder. What can you do? Can't hide this baby in your home forever. Same kind of question you have in a more contemporary setting. If we could only just keep our kids at home. Gotta send them to school. They're going to learn other influences. Or sometime we've got to put them out in the world. Kind of want to tuck them in, hug them in, and keep them away from this tempting, challenging, cruel, Pharaoh-like world. But you can't do that. You've got to live by faith. You have to trust the Lord. Bring them up in the fear of the Lord and then trust the Lord. So they had not only negative faith, they were not afraid of the king's commandment, they had also positive faith. Positive faith. They took action. Faith always takes action. They commit their child, Moses. And here's the astonishing thing. They commit their child, Moses, to the river of death. The very river where the babies were being killed. What a strange thing to do. They must have planned and worked over it a considerable period of time. They got Moses into a watertight little basket. They covered it. They put him in the last place you'd ever expect, the last place Pharaoh would ever expect. They launch him down the very river where children are being thrown to alligators and drowned. They put him in the river of death. It reminds you, doesn't it, of John 12? Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Faith went to work. Faith planned. Faith went down to the bulrushes. Faith took the rushes out from the riverside. Faith beat them out into the marvelously strong papyrus and wove a miniature little ark. And faith cradled Moses in that little ark. You ever wonder why they chose a little ark? Could it be that Amram and Jochebed said to each other, you know, the God of Noah still lives? If God saved Noah and his family in a big ark, can he save our little boy in a little ark? And they launched him out into the waters, just as Noah's large ark was launched. What they envisioned, we don't know. But they did it by faith. They did it by faith, Hebrews 11 says. They ventured on God. And you can be sure that while they ventured on God and cradled Moses in the little ark, they also cradled him in their hearts in their prayers. And they were praying. It must have torn Jacob's heart apart, don't you think? See little Moses floating away in a little ark on the Nile and go home. She cradled him in her prayers. I know you moms have the same struggle sometimes. You see those little kindergartners going off to school, and what can you do? You go back home. The child goes away on the bus, and you cradle him in your prayers. No matter where your child is,
or what your child is like, faith remembers two things. The covenant of God stamped upon him. And secondly, the child in many prayers will seldom perish. Have you ever made a little ark for your children and cradled them in your prayers? But also, Amram and Jochebed cradled them in their vision. In their vision. As they faced the future. They faced a future in which they envisioned Moses alive. Now, they saw three things. First of all, they saw potential in Moses. They saw that he was a proper child, the King James reads. Some translations have, he was a goodly child. The implication is, he was a godly child. How they saw that at 3 months old is hard to say. But perhaps they just saw that he was a child in the line of God's promise, and they had faith that God would do great things through this child. And perhaps, too, Moses could have been a Nazarite from the womb. That's possible. Set apart in a special way. But certainly, at the very least, we can say, Amram and Jochebed looked at Moses and said, This is a special child. This is like no other child. And in a sense, I don't want to make the comparison too one-to-one, but in a sense, we all feel that way, don't we, when we have children? You look at your little baby and you say, this is a special baby. I mean, I joke with you sometimes in the hospital when I see your baby the first time, and I tell you it's the fourth cutest baby I've ever seen. Because I've got three kids, of course. Because each child you have is very special, very personal to you. When you look at that child, you have great vision, don't you? Great hopes, great dreams. If that's all dipped in faith, who can tell what the Lord will do with that child? That's how they felt about Moses. This is a goodly child. Let's train this child for God. They saw potential. Secondly, they saw danger. Danger in their vision. This child's born under the threat of death, born under the threat of condemnation. This child is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. This child is born to die. That's dangerous. And then they saw a pathway, a possibility. They saw promise. The promise of the living God. They saw potential. They saw danger. They saw promise. They acted by faith. Not irrationally. Though it might seem mystical and irrational to us, they actually planned even as they let Moses go. They sent Miriam there to watch. To watch what would happen. They must have anticipated some kind of deliverance. And we too do the same thing, don't we? In one way. If you commit your children to school, well, the teachers are the Miriams. You let your child go, but you try to put your child in the hands of people who will watch over your child. The Miriams in the midst of danger. Their teachers are Mrs. Miriam. Watching. Training. So, Amram and Jochebed act as parents of faith, they act out of the principle of faith, and then in conclusion, they show the power of faith. You know what happens. Moses does become a remarkable man. In fact, I don't think the parents could ever have anticipated just how remarkable Moses would become. And God breaks open that little ark and in a wonderful way cares for Moses. Far exceeding abundantly above all that Amram and Jochebed could ask or think. Ephesians 3, 20, 21. God can do far greater with your children than He's ever done with you. Reverend Vanderswalk often says, I hope that my children are far more godly, far more advanced in grace than I am. I feel the same way with the seminary. I tell the students, I want to train you to be far better ministers than I am. To be far more advanced. That's how we have to feel about everything we train, whether it's children, whether it's seminary students, whether it's students at school. Oh God, have great expectations in a great God to do great things. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So the Egyptian princess finds baby Moses. She opens up the ark, the lid of the ark. And what does Moses do? Well, he does what babies always do. He cries. And in God's providence, the Egyptian princess is touched. And she says, what are we going to do with this crying baby? And she forgets her father's rule. Kill him! No. She suddenly sees a little girl standing there and she says, can you get a nurse for the baby? Or rather, the girl says, I had the story wrong there. The girl says, can I get a nurse for the baby? And the princess says, yes. Go ahead and get a nurse. And of course, in some stories of the Bible, I say this with reverence, but it almost seems sometimes that God, in defeating the works of Satan, has just a little touch of humor sometimes. And isn't this a case where you feel that? Miriam goes and gets the mother. And the Egyptian princess gives the baby back to the mother and says, raise this child for me. And Jacob goes right on raising Moses for the Lord. I mean, this is amazing. Talk about doing exceeding abundantly above what you could ask or think. This is amazing. This is the power of faith being blessed by God. And we don't know how long Jacob then took care of Moses. Some people say it was only until he was 3, because that was the weaning time. Other people say no. Children often weren't completely free of all forms of dependence upon their mother till they were about 12. And that's sometimes what the Bible meant. I have no way of knowing, of course, and neither do you. But all we know is that the mother had charge of Moses for the most formative years of his life. And Moses became a marvelous man of God, learned in all the wisdom of Egypt, but first learned in all the wisdom and fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. And so God protects Moses in a wonderful way. Not only training him outwardly, but training him inwardly to become an astounding leader in Israel and an astounding intimate friend of God. You know, at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 34, verse 10, it speaks of Moses, and it says this, Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. What a gift. And why? Well, it's grace, of course. But also, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. His parents were people of faith who acted out of the principle of faith and who believed in the power of faith were blessed by faith. Let this little meditation this morning be an encouragement to you to keep on bringing your children to God by faith. Expect great things from a great God. He not only can protect them, as we saw this week with the Veltins in a powerful way, but he can save them. And he can do wonders in them and through them and use them. And use them in this world in ways far beyond you'll ever be used. What a blessing. to be a Monica, whose prayers were used for the conversion of the great Augustine. Who can tell? So put your children in the ark of faith. Bring to God your prayers of faith. Cradle them. Your prayers, the ark of God's promises, and in your vision, despite all the dangers you see, trust God to do great things for your children. Let's pray. Great God of heaven, we thank Thee so much for this wonderful history of how Thou didst protect Moses and didst use the faith of Amram and Jochebed to open this way for Moses to be trained in the fear of God and later to be a great leader in the people of the people of Israel. Oh, we pray, let our children one day do great exploits, but help us, Lord, to train them patiently, daily, by faith, knowing that Thy promises are not in vain. Help us to cradle them in the ark of Thy promises, in prayer, and in Thy precious covenant, knowing that Thou dost delight to work from generation to generation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.